you know, when she's sitting at the gathering, which I'm sure she had a great time, some wine, some photos, all that. And she goes, and one of her gals goes, hey, what's your husband's version of this weekend? And she goes, ugh. He goes and meets up with his high school friends to watch the NFL draft. And they're just like, boring.
I have to do completely backtrack what I said about Xander at the US Open, because he's T5, T6, T3, 5th, 17th, 14th, and 10th.
It's okay, Kyle. It's okay. You owned up to it.
Jordan, did you also know he played in the Chubb Classic and Dick's Sporting Goods Open this year?
I did not know that Russ Cochran played in the Chubb's and the Dick's Open.
Welcome to Reading the Green, our golf and fantasy sports show. My name is Mike. Jordan and Kyle on Tuesday, April 23rd. This is episode 107, the Zurich Classic. Kyle, on the road again, sporting your Iowa gear now that Deacon Hill has departed. How are you feeling today?
I'm on the road again, but this time I'm at a hotel that has an upgraded internet option, which I paid for. So hopefully no technical difficulties on this end tonight. And so long, good riddance. We appreciate your time, Deacon Hill. Go have fun at Hillsboro Community College.
Yeah, right. I sent the text earlier. He's going to break out. How can you imagine trying to be a quarterback with Ferentz Jr. as your play caller? No one's going to be good like that.
Don't have to worry about that anymore. No more Brian calling.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, but he's gone. Deacon's going to come back. He's going to lead some middling team to have some success, because he doesn't have to play under a Ferentz or two Ferentzes.
Well, Jordan's here taking shots at Iowa. That's what we expect out of Jordan when he's loose and ready to go. Jordan, you're also keeping us up to date on the Timberwolves. And I know we're not going to go full Minnesota sports homer on this, but like a legit contender in the works. So you'll keep us up to date.
Yeah, they can stay healthy. That's what did him in last year. One guy punched a wall and broke his hand. The other guy just got like a sprained ankle, and then they got smoked by Denver and were out. So.
Well, we got a lot of good stuff. We got a lot of good stuff in the works. Zurich Classic preview. We'll talk a little bit about the RBC Heritage. I got a couple of takes there. Kyle, you requested, though, that you wanted to start with your favorite sporting event of the calendar year, the NFL Draft.
I don't know about the calendar year, but it holds a special place in my heart. We're going on, I believe, year 19 of a gathering with some of my high school buddies, where we get together for the NFL draft every year. We've been in person twice. Jordan actually partially attended one as well, because he lived in Chicago and was there. So yes, I'm a big draft fan. Unfortunately, I'll be flying back on Thursday night, but excited to see what goes down. We have some drama this year. The four quarterbacks at the top are, you know, somebody, the trade up to four. We have Vikings drama as Minnesota guys, Denver Broncos fan. There's some unknowns there. Are they going to get a quarterback? There's a lot of intrigue.
Are you on Delta? So at least you get some live TV so you can watch the draft.
Yes. I'll be tuned in. And I will only be in the air for about an hour and a half, I believe, of live draft. So my hope is Broncos can't.
That's about three picks, eight. Right? It's about three picks, hour and a half. It's about three picks, an hour and a half.
It goes a little quicker. There's been some years. It's crazy. That I should be able to see the Vikings trade up to four in the air, and should take JJ McCarthy for some reason that they want to go all the way to four.
JJ to JJ is a marketing campaign made in paradise.
Yeah. We'll see if JJ, the OG JJ, agrees and re-ups his contract to go play for a rookie. But, you know, I should be home by the Broncos pick. I'm hoping they don't move up too far. Don't get me wrong, they need a quarterback, but I'd rather, with what's going to be left, if they're not going to get a top three guy, let it come to you. Don't get crazy.
So as a guy myself, as a guy that likes watching football, certainly root for the Vikings. Don't really get too worked up around anything outside of the actual gameplay when it comes to NFL. I actually do enjoy watching the first round of the draft. I don't know what does it for me. I think it is just kind of seeing the spectacle of it. But Kyle, as you're like a kind of an NFL junkie, like what about the draft do you like? The GM work? I just like seeing people's kitchens, to be honest. Like that's probably what's in it for me.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit's willing and dealing, but I think at this point it's just kind of the nostalgia and a reason to get together with some friends for me. Sure. So Thursday night, unfortunately, I will not be watching with them, but drive down early Friday morning. We'll play some golf Friday as long as the weather cooperates. And then watch Friday afternoon, grill, play a bunch of yard games. It's a good time.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you have that this weekend.
Yeah. What's your wife's equivalent of this weekend?
She went scrapbooking last weekend.
Oh, honey.
Oh, you didn't know that, Jordan.
I didn't know that she went scrapbooking last weekend.
Well, she made, she didn't actually scrapbook. She made online video books. But
And you know, Jordan, you know, when she's sitting at the gathering, which I'm sure she had a great time, some wine, some photos, all that. And she goes, and one of her gals goes, hey, what's your husband's version of this weekend? And she goes, ugh. He goes and meets up with his high school friends to watch the NFL draft. And they're just like, boring.
There probably was an oh honey set.
can we get a poll, can we get a Twitter poll going and let people vote on which one is worse for the opposite sex, making your wife sit through the NFL draft or your husband sitting through a scrapbooking party?
Great call. Well, I have one other topic golf related that I want to get to before we talk a little bit about the RBC, but in general, some interesting stuff going on this weekend. Obviously, you have Nelly Korda picking up her second major of her career, winning her fifth event in a row. Kind of impressive stuff. Kyle, you were in Houston last week, so you knew that the Chevron Championship was going on just north of the city. And at the same time, you got Scottie Scheffler winning in South Carolina, winning effectively feels like his fourth event in a row, but certainly back-to-back with the Masters. And at the same time, you have some aspiring youngsters out there. You got what I wrote in my notes here, Russell Wilson. That doesn't sound right. You have two youngsters out there, Miles Russell, the 15-year-old that makes the cut, finishes top 25 on the Korn Ferry Tour. And then your gal, Kyle, Yana Wilson, playing in the Chevron Championship as an amateur. Just kind of interesting stuff going on. How do you feel about either end of the spectrum there? Streaking top players in the world or teenagers tearing it up on the pro circuits?
So I'll first talk about crossing paths with Yana Wilson last Monday evening. As I was bringing my clubs with me to Houston, you have to go to the oversized baggage area to pick up your clubs. And I walk up and see my Amazon Basics travel bag next to a U.S. Ryder Cup bag. What is going on? Closer inspection, it was a U.S. Junior Women's Ryder Cup bag with a name sewed on it.
Time out. Is that what it's called? Is it called Women's Ryder Cup or is it called Junior Solheim Cup?
Junior Ryder Cup.
I think it's...
No, I know, but for the gals, though...
The women participated. The women played the Solheim Cup.
I know, but it's called the Solheim Cup.
It's guys and girls compete together
in the Ryder Cup.
In the Ryder Cup one. Because I watched part of it.
Got it.
Last year.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't think I was making that part up. So, of course, there's a name sewn on it. So I'm like, Yana Wilson, who's that? So look it up. And it turns out she's a very impressive young golfer. She was the 2023 AGA Girls Player of the Year. She's going to Oregon next year. She
won the junior, U.S. junior.
She's won three World Junior Golf Ranking events, has played in the pitch, putt, and chip. She won the 2024 Curtis Cup practice session, or was a part of the 2024 Curtis Cup practice session at Seminole. So my main takeaway was like, I just want to go play where she plays. Is that somehow possible, because she's representing the United States in 2021 Junior Solheim Cup and winning the 2022 Hilton Grand Vacation Annika Invitational. So I felt like just by my bag of clubs being close to hers, they picked up something. It worked out for me for like 15 holes last week, and then the wheels fall off. So I needed to have the clubs there just a little longer, I think.
Jordan, Kyle texts me and he says, yeah, Yana's mom commented on my TPC Twin Cities hat.
She did.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're on the bus to the rental car, and I'd put my bags, like I had my bag of clubs or my clubs right by the driver, and there's no other place for her to put hers. So hers were on top of mine. So I was standing there kind of like holding the clubs against it. And I had my TPC Twin Cities, you know, 3M open hat on. And this lady just goes, nice hat. And at that time, I didn't realize who it was yet. And then I was like, oh, it's her clubs. And she sat next to her. So I presume it's her mom. Anyway.
Nice. I wish you would have come back with, yeah, it was a great tournament. You know, I played well, made the cut.
All right. Well, so that was Kyle's big celebrity golf sighting of the week. But just wanted to call out that, you know, she's out there as an 18-year-old playing in an LPGA major, as was not quite a major, but Miles Russell, doing some really silly stuff at times on the Korn Ferry event this weekend. Obviously finishes top 25, but as a 15-year-old, gets to play again this week on tour by virtue of finishing top 25. Like, some of the names on the, you know, that he's beating are legit. Now, I saw Golf Digest posted his stock yardages in his bag, and he's hitting his driver 280, and I was like, what a chump. Most of the times they post that stuff and it's like driver distance is 325, and then I remember he's 15. But okay, before we move into the golf recap and in the preview, Scotty and Nelly doing their thing. I mean, obviously we could talk a little bit about Scotty and the RBC, but it's kind of like a monumental moment in this generation of professional golf. Like, how does it feel? Does it resonate like that, or does it resonate kind of like, eh?
I mean, I certainly think so. I haven't, you know, obviously Tiger did what he did, and some of the numbers Annika Sorenstam put up back in the day are nuts. But when I hear those now, I realize that I wasn't following close enough to really realize, I guess, what we were witnessing at that point in time. So now that I've been a lot more ingrained in the sport over the last, you know, five, six years or so, this is nuts. I do have to say, last week, when I was traveling, I did have to fly through Michigan, so I could bet Michigan. I took Scotty live Friday morning, and when he was T55, I believe. And yeah, so I finally got one.
Love that. we'll count that. When we get to the, we'll let you count that one as an outright. But yeah, truly special stuff. And it, you know, it should on both sides of the, say, both sides of the ball, the LPGA, PGA Tour, it should get you tuning in, because some pretty crazy things are happening. Maybe not this weekend. Nelly already withdrew from her event this weekend, but next time they're both in the field, I think it's definitely appointment TV if you're a golf fan. Let's do beer really quick, and then we'll talk about the RBC. Kyle, you said you made arrangements to make sure that you were ready to go in your hotel room. What do you got?
I do. I was excited about this purchase. So this beer.
Oh, I think I already know what it is.
Well, before, let's say it's one of the OG good craft beers that tried to seek out back in the day if I ever traveled in this part of the country. So when I happened to see it, I was like, ooh, I know what I'm buying. I have Lawson's Finest Liquor, Sip of Sunshine. Sorry, it's kind of the blur there. But it doesn't. If you would have asked me, I would have said it is more of a Northeast style IPA, but it is not. I didn't recall that. It's been so long since I've had it. And the other thing is, it's kind of a Jordan level move. It is 8%, which I didn't realize when I bought it either.
Ooh. Makes for a better show, that's for sure.
You're starting this draft weekend off right. Assuming you've got some work drinks tomorrow night. You're going to have a drink at the airport Thursday on the plane, probably. This is a week-long event for you now.
I'll probably take Thursday off. You got to make sure the stomach's in fine form for Friday, Saturday. I mean, at our age, Jordan, you just can't push it back.
Lawson's Finest Sip of Sunshine is definitely an OG. I've had it a couple of times, but I agree with you. If you went back, it probably would maybe be underwhelming, but it is an OG that you got to pay your respects to. Jordan, what do you got?
I have a Day of Another Dream, West Coast IPA by Modest. I need to get back to the liquor store because it's, I almost grabbed a Radiant Haze and then I was like, oh, that's what I had last week. Can't be that guy.
Good stuff. I started with a little 4.1 Czech Pilsner side pull from Fair State in collaboration with Bierstadt. I don't know if you guys have had this. It's crushable, very crushable.
I don't think I have, but I do like my Czech Pilsners.
Yeah, the beer snobs rave about side pull and they get super excited when it comes out, but it is very good. And then finishing off the last of the 420 favorite Green Greens, which I love the can art on this. You got the sort of right. Super Mario theme plus the tree with the puff of smoke coming out of his mouth. So Green Greens is actually a really solid New England double dry hopped IPA from Modest. All right. The RBC Heritage at Harbortown in Hilton Head. For maybe about, I don't know, 6 hours, we thought Scotty Scheffler might not win a golf tournament. Kyle, you were lucky enough to be in a betting state during that period of time to bet him live outright. I don't remember the exact number you got, definitely double digits. And he was 7 shots off the lead. Well, he ends up winning by... Go ahead.
Yeah, I got him at 13.5 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was 2 under at that point.
And I think he birdied 16 and 17 on his opening round to even get to 2 under. So it was really just kind of an uninspiring meh round to start, as you would expect the guy that just won the Masters. And then he does what Scottie Scheffler does and shoots, I think he shot 7 under and then 8 under. And then got to coast his way. I know there was some wonkiness with the finish on Sunday, but he eventually gets it done. And I believe makes a bogey on 18, which it didn't hurt me, but I was concerned that there was going to be some serious money moving for folks who lost out on the bogey-free round bonus for Scotty, just ho-humming his way to a bogey on the final round 18th hole. So I'm sure someone out there got burned.
Jordan, do you recall what happened when Scotty was on 14, I believe it was? Scotty got a text message on Thursday, something like a reference of somebody just out there going through the motions and playing uninspired golf.
Yeah, weird.
Which was sarcastic. Sarcastic.
Yeah. The patented Mike. Thursday Mike text. Yeah,
from Kyle or I, it's sarcastic. From you, it's not.
Yeah. So of sarcastic. Course, that was my response was, "Thank you for saying that because now I'm going to take him live," and it worked.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad you got that. So let me ask you a couple questions in response to Scotty's win, now his 4th on the year and absolutely massive events that he is cleaning up in. Everyone seems to be just hating on the PGA Tour right now. We have a generational talent that is dismantling fields on the biggest stage, and it's either a yawn or it's the system is broken. This is what I heard on the driving range on Sunday afternoon, albeit I walked behind two middle-aged ladies who didn't seem to be super serious about golf because they were both carrying to-go cups of wine saying, at least we're out here doing this, which I appreciated at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I think one of them mentioned their husbands were out of town, and so they wanted to prove that they would be out working on their games. Love that they're out there. Any way you want to grab a golf club and swing it, go for it. But she says to her friend, as they're kind of just chatting with one of the guys sitting next to them, she goes, Scotty plays boring golf. He just hits it straight. Boring. And I was like, here we got a casual golf fan ripping on a guy that is literally doing things that haven't been done in decades on the PGA Tour. And that's how it comes across to the fans. So where are you guys at?
I have some qualms with that take. from that individual. What's the guy that's winning is supposed to not hit it straight? You're supposed to like hit it four fairways over, rip signs out of the ground and carry it around like they're carrying across or what?
I guess because Tiger, honestly, Tiger, if that's what you want to go back to, that's kind of the way he played golf at times was he had this, you know, he was an escape artist often and he hit ridiculous shots and it was exciting. It was exciting. And Scotty hits 16 greens around and occasionally makes a few putts.
I think I don't have as big an issue with the larger obviously there's issues with larger direction of golf right now, but not, I don't think it's as dire as some make it out to be. Get rid of the stupid no cut events. Like the RBC needs to have a cut. That's stupid. Get better meteorologists on staff or have stronger arms with the networks. That's the biggest issue. We've had three elevated events have to either do something crazy or finish on Monday. But outside of that, what's the tour supposed to do?
I agree with you. And the follow-up question was, is his dominance a result of fragmentation of professional golf? No. Or is he just ascended to a different level?
No. I staunchly believe that. I despise despite what Taylor Gooch might say.
last question then. Go ahead.
It is interesting. Like if all of those guys had stayed on the PGA Tour, like would DJ have kept getting better? Would Cam Smith have gotten better? Right. I think today it's not even close. Right. Because they're playing a different game than Scotty is. Mm-hmm. Right. And they don't have the commitment. They don't need the commitment. Do I think Scotty still wins almost all of these? Yes. But is it closer? Right. And is it maybe more entertaining because it's Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, you know, in second, third, fifth, 10th than whoever happened to be at the RBC that I don't remember?
The leaderboards have been good, though. I mean, all things considered.
I think the only tournament,
they've been good. Yeah.
I think the only three that I would feel comfortable making an argument that were on their way up still when they left is Cam Smith, Neiman, and Taylor Gooch, even though he's become a walking punchline now. I mean, the rest of those guys.
You wouldn't put, like, put Rahm in that group?
He's newer. He's newer over there.
Newer. So I guess I did. Yeah.
I see. I got you. Yeah.
I'm talking about like the first year.
Yeah. Wave. But DJ and Brooks, you could say, were going to be non-factors in PGA Tour events outside of Brooks in majors, maybe.
Yeah. And that's Brooks carrying. And granted, Bryson has bounced back. He's reinvented himself. He's got off the crazy diet or whatever he was on for a little bit. So, but at the, you know, 6 months in, I think that would have been a fair take. And maybe you'd have to revisit some of it now. Overall, I mean, don't get me wrong. Those guys are going to pop. I'm going to play guys at the Players. I'm going to play guys at the PGA. But I don't think it's right to use that to discount what Scotty's doing.
Yeah. No, I think it would have made it more interesting versus Scotty. Like, Scotty still would be winning, right? He's playing unreal. There's no question about that.
I mean, we could probably spend the rest of the show arguing this. And I think, Kyle, you're right to say, like, it doesn't really matter. Everybody that he's competing against is a real golfer with a massive amount of talent. And he's winning by 4 or 5 strokes every time he goes out. And so I agree. Like, just I hope that golf fans, however he plays the game, appreciate this. And you know, I'm a legacy guy, in the moment legacy guy. Appreciate this for what it is. So 20, 30, 40 years from now, when you look back, you say, I remember what it was like to watch Scottie Scheffler's 2024 season.
But see, I don't think it's going to happen. He's too boring. Right. But that's just how it is. Right. How many other good golfers have had one or two like great seasons? If he keeps it up for 3, 4, 5 years, then, you know, they're like, oh, that 1 year was the year he really, you know, I don't know. It's just
his life is going to change a lot in the next couple of weeks. And it sounds like, and this is my last take, which we don't have to drain, but his mental approach probably will allow him to continue continue to operate at the level that he's at, but who knows? Like, he's going to have a kid. Like, you know, that turns people upside down. And, you know, I'm happy to have squeezed as much money out of him as I could have this year. That's all I could say.
One counter, I guess, to what Jordan said, and what's memorable is maybe a different look at this, but Jordan, have you seen the Data Golf all-time rankings? Like, No Laying Up likes to talk about them, have a metric to track each player's peak and try to like compare them. Basically, so obviously Tiger in 2000 by their metric was number one. He's at 3.89, but Scotty is now up to 3.04, second best stretch of all time. Had a VJ's behind him, David Duvall, Ernie Els, Rahm, Spieth, Day, McIlroy, and Jim Furyk. Rahm's at the ending at the Genesis in 23, Spieth and Day's in 2015. So I find that interesting. But yes, I think the point about his life is going to very much change. And he's had a lot of success. And I don't think we can completely discount this either with this time of year in the past too. So relative to the rest of the season, and obviously there's something that's going to change succinctly that could change that going forward, but enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right. Rapid housekeeping on the RTG side. Listener League, it was a tight race. I think that generally happens in the no-cut events because everybody's running six guys out all four rounds. So Bo McBig Time, Bo McBrayer, writer for Fantasy Pros, one of our contributing experts, he wins. I think that's his first RTG win of the year. I finished just a couple of points behind him. In second place, we were the only two people with Scottie Scheffler, which that's where I got leverage in RTG with playing Scottie Scheffler. Did not get as much leverage as I thought I might in some of the bigger contests I was in. And then Buke 0215 finishing in third. Model-wise, it's hard to tell on the no-cut weeks, the signature event no-cut. Like, everything just kind of comes out meh in the wash, and it's just a matter of if you find a few diamonds in the rough. Our MPI, our power index cooled off a little bit. Tommy Fleetwood certainly underachieved. Siwoo Kim was all right. But, you know, I think Kyle may be a good reminder that when the formats get weird, adjust your betting strategy accordingly. Because when we sort of tuned everything to work for the run of the mill events, this is where things get a little off.
Do want to shout out JT Poston last week. Was a model play and someone who talked about the pod. I feel like we've done a bad job highlighting people in the pod on Tuesday because we still get additional data that come in on Wednesday. So I want to highlight one that we got right finally, because it's been a tough run.
The top contributor, DFS contributor of the week was Zach Thompson. He contributes over at Fantasy Labs, their big GPP plays article. He led the way. He's got several picks. Led the way with Scotty, Sahith, and Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk roomed up the leaderboard on Saturday, I believe. And then he got the gutsiest play. We'll hand out to Bo McBrayer. This certainly helps. Justin Thomas, kind of out of nowhere, a little backdoor. I think he finished sixth, fifth. I don't have it up in front of me.
Fifth. Yeah. Yeah. Quick fun note there. There were some tweets about this on Sunday night because he was in the clubhouse at six, and with the people going back out and the wind to pick it up, I think Mayo retweeted this. So like, hey, you could get JT top five for like 60 to one or something. And with the weather picked up, so a lot of people jumped on that. And it worked out.
That paid off. So that was our gutsiest play, JT. A little bit of an afterthought here. I wonder what that might mean for some of the big events coming up. And then our landmines, I mentioned Tommy Fleetwood underperforming. Cam Davis also not so great after a nice showing at the Masters. Jordan, last point I'll make. We didn't have Survivor Reloaded this week. Nothing to talk about there, but one and done.
A lot of money this week. How many guys ended up tying for second place in the actual tournament? It was quite a few, but we had one guy, only one person had anyone that got second. So he $2.2 million, all birdie round 18. And then we had five Patrick Cantlay picks. One of them, congratulations, Michael Koziak, getting some cheddar for the week. Top of the leaderboard remains the same though. Stogie followed by me, Champles, then T Nash ended up with $1 million and took over fourth place. But Mount Cost coming in sixth. You're making a move, Mike.
I am making a move. I feel good about that. I'm sticking to my guns a little more here this year. But question, Joe Jordan, last week you said that 35% of the pool still had Scotty in the bag. Why were they not playing him this week? Like we had no Scotty takes for the RBC signature event.
One. I don't know if people knew that it was a big money one. it's weird. Right after the Masters, right? You don't like
for sure.
Usually the one after a major is the Zurich Classic, right? They should switch those two weekends. On a side note, the Timberwolves are going to win because there's 2 minutes left and the Suns have already sat their entire starting lineup.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jordan. That's an important update. Important update for the Minnesota listeners.
Yeah.
Which will be irrelevant by the time you listen to this on Wednesday or Thursday and already know the result, but... Maybe if we actually go live someday. But Jordan, you offered maybe a nice segue to getting into the Zurich Classic. So let's do that. We do have the Zurich Classic of New Orleans this week at TPC Louisiana, Avondale, Louisiana. And this is Team Golf. This is Team Golf. So for those LIV fans out there that listen to us week in, week out, this is Team Golf on the PGA Tour. Last year, Davis Riley and Jordan, your guy, Nick Hardy, Swag Golf Ambassador, gets front and center on the broadcast with all of his cool gear, takes down the win, fighting off a charging Adam Hadwin. This is a fun event to tune into. It's a weird event to bet on. We're going to try to figure it out, but... other note that I have here, Kyle, before you run into the course preview, but top 33 teams and ties will make the cut this week out of a field of, I believe, 80 teams. So it's pretty tough to make the cut. This is one of the tighter cuts on tour. And so think about that as you're thinking about your betting strategy for this week. But Kyle, TPC Louisiana, thoughts?
Yes, and you're 100%. I mean, typically it's PGA Tour events like 42, 43% of field, and we might have as low as 40 here this week. So Pete Dye course, small greens, it is 7,400 yards. There's a lot of room off the tee, so you can spray it. It's a hard week to draw correlation on, you know, what type of teams win. I think you do need to look at the team element very closely. I want form. I would prefer a little course history here, and particularly in this kind of style of event, and at least one guy with high upside putter. You look at the teams that won in the past, there's always at least somebody that runs hot with the putter. 20 to 30 below is going to win. Last year was 30. The year before for Xander and Patrick Cantlay was 29. As you mentioned, 33 and out of 80 teams make the cut. So you're going to have a lot of cuts this week. And just a reminder, you only get to play one of the pairings, and that plays both for you.
Say that again, Kyle. I want to really make sure we understand lineup construction this week.
So if you only have to click on Patrick Cantlay, you don't need to click on Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. The Zurich Classic is a team stroke play event. You don't draft two teammates in the same lineup. Teammates will earn the same amount of fantasy points. No matter
who you draft. Can you draft the same players into the lineup?
Don't think it would let you, right?
I thought I did.
I just want to clarify that. I want to clarify. But a good point.
Jordan, you go test that out while we're talking about that.
Yeah, it'll help me get my lineup in.
Players playing together will be priced the same in DraftKings, and they will score the same amount of points. So that is very important to understand this week. It does not matter if you play Alex or Matt Fitzpatrick, they will cost the same amount. However, it is interesting. Well, actually, we'll get to we'll start with this. Maybe we'll start with this. No, I'm going to hold it. I have a question for you guys. Before we get into the preview, I want to ask. This is a team golf. It's really interesting, and maybe Jordan will play on this a little bit. It's like, you know, who are you going to pick? Who's your teammate? How do they figure that out? We're going to hear all kinds of stuff this week on the broadcast. You guys have maybe played a little team golf in your life. What's your partner picking strategy? You want to play in a team golf event? What do you want? You want buddies? You want sticks? You want someone that complements your game? You want someone that's going to buy you drinks?
I'll let you go first, Jordan.
I would like someone better than me that will also drink as much as I do. All right, because you're out there to have fun.
Did you just see that on the screen?
You can see that.
Oh, yeah.
The second finger.
Yep, that's how the teams works on Max.
Oh, yep. you got my thumb up?
Yeah, it gave it bubbles. There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry for those not watching the YouTube. I agree. They obviously need to be better than me. I would say a similar mentality or temperament would be great. I don't know if Tyrrell Hatton is going to want to play with, you know, somebody that's a little bit more easygoing or vice versa.
I like that. I bet that plays through a little bit on how some of these guys pick their teams, but Kyle, maybe an important point, which is I don't want someone out there that's just going to be like pissing and moaning the whole time. Like, that's tough to be around and definitely a good way to throw you out of your element.
Or someone that takes it like overly serious.
For sure.
Like, if you're not, like two semi-serious people, you can't have like Joel Dahman playing with Tyrrell Hatton.
That right? would be like, a really odd. I'd have questions. So, all right. So maybe some dynamics here. We'll think about a little bit. Kyle, I wanted to, before we jump into the model, I wanted to offer just a very quick Survivor League Reloaded workshop concept here, which is in the new Survivor League Reloaded that Jordan and I, you know, I put in through the Sandman pools, you still have to pick two players that both make the cut. And this week, your player has to make the cut. So you can choose, you know, somebody like an Alex Fitzpatrick who you would never need to play the rest of the year. But if he and Matt make the cut, you've saved maybe your stud bullets for the week. I'm with you, Kyle, on this concept that same guys, two guys on the same team that you think are locks.
Yeah, right? I was going to ask, can you pick two guys on the same team?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. I personally, I wouldn't get cute. Just survive in advance. Who cares who you got left at the end? That's what we can really strategize about this. Just survive over the people that get cute for now. That's
especially,
my take.
Especially this one.
Can't right,
this is the hardest cut, lowest cut quantity, right?
What I told Kyle was I'm taking Xander and Cantlay. They have obviously that a win in a T4, I think. And I can go to bed easy. If they miss the cut this week, they're both playing great golf. If they miss the cut this week, you know, so be it. But I'll be kicking myself if I didn't play them.
Yeah, it's 100% the way to go. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to think like this either, but Cantlay and Shoffley, to me, from a course fit perspective, I should have this data in front of me, but they don't seem as much like US Open type guys.
I mean, Cantlay doesn't have a great major championship record. I don't know if Xander's, you know, between Valhalla, maybe Pinehurst. I mean, I really got to do a little bit of my work on Pinehurst. You need a masterful short game to take on Pinehurst. And I know we're going to be out there. Xander is not that. Cantlay, sure. But Xander's not that. I'm very comfortable burning Xander this week and not needing him the rest of the year. So, with that, Kyle, maybe you want to run through the RTG model here. I know it's kind of tricky this week just with all the team dynamics, but what are we thinking?
Yeah, we're trying to find what we can. I obviously, like we've talked about a lot, there's some wonkiness to this. You got to take it with a grain of salt. I don't think the models really play out really well here. And some guys kind of put out joint betting and DFS articles that usually do one for each. So we kind of got to read between the lines on what they're saying. So with all that being said, Cantlay and Shoffley leading the way. They're 11-2 this week. So far, they have 50% of the mention share. Which I will say at this point, we probably have about the same amount of contributors we usually get in at this point, maybe just one or two less. And MPI is decently high on them at 64. But who the MPI really does love is Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, 42% mention share, $9,200 on the salary. If you want to go a little bit more of a balanced build, you're saving $2,000 there. And a perfect MPI so far. They're going to be one of my plays this week. They were second here last year. Andy Lack at Golf Digest is on them. Spencer Roterballer and Matt Gannon at who's been absolutely money for us at SPGN. So I'm very intrigued by that play. Joining them at 42% is a little bit cheaper on the scale. Taylor Moore, Matt Neesmith, $7,700. And then we have a whole gaggle of teams at 25% mention shares so far. Joining Hadwin and Taylor is one of my plays, guys, just going into that 25% range a little bit. I think I like Justin Lauer, Don't Call Me Lower, and Dylan Wu, $7,400. The MPI isn't there yet. But they were 10th as a pair in this event in 2022. And like we talked about form, Justin's coming in with some pretty decent form. He hung last week and Dylan Wu always seems to pop until he kills us. But $7,400. I think there's worse clicks.
Dylan Wu absolutely in fuego on Twitter over the weekend with the people hating on the Monday finish for the RBC. Dylan wasn't even in the field. Andrew Novak got in on the chatter. It was Feinberg was duking it out. I was proud of my Dylan Wu.
Yeah, and that's, he just got that little bit more of a fire in his belly. And before I ask you guys your plays, I have to do completely backtrack what I said about Xander at the US Open, because he's T5, T6, T3, 5th, 17th, 14th, and 10th.
It's okay, Kyle. It's okay. You owned up to it. We know he is a great major player that doesn't win majors. All I was suggesting was none of those were a U.S. Open at Pinehurst, and I think that presents a different set of challenges that Xander's tool set typically doesn't match up to. Doesn't mean he won't finish top 10. I have that question about Xander this year. On the Canadians, Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor, if you recall last year, the duo on Sunday raced up the leaderboard with 10 birdies in the foursomes format, including seven in a row, holes 7 through 13. And so it kind of came out of nowhere. Adam Hadwin was just was a ball striking machine. So I think that is probably generating a lot of the buzz for those guys this year, because frankly, Hadwin was, I don't know who he played with in 2022. I'm assuming he played with Taylor. I did not look it up, but this event is relatively new. So you're going to see a lot of that course history really between last year and the year before.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. The tour's played here a decent amount, right? But not
in this format. Yeah. Not in this format. It was a normal tour stop prior to 2022. The team event has only been around for a couple of years. Other guys maybe wanting to call out. Like I said, I think you hit on some of the horses this week. I think that the Gala Zalatoris combination is intriguing, and I think the Rory and Shane Lowry pairings, like you taking your stud. Now we saw the stud setup backfire last year with Morikawa and Homa totally flaming out. Like sometimes you just can't get rolling. But I feel okay backing you probably Thigala and Zalatoris as my if I'm going to go off of Cantlay and Shoffley, which My advice would be not to, because those guys have owned this tournament and frankly every team format that they've played in. But I guess that would be my take, is maybe thinking about Sahi.
I think the Rory take is a decent one too, just because you look at what's sunk him lately, it is one or two blow up holes. So if Lowry can cancel those out, I think if you're looking to pivot, that makes sense. Go ahead, Jordan.
I was just gonna say, you just gotta hope Sahith ends up with the putts within 6 feet and not Willie Z.
You know, that is I know this is probably beyond us. We're not doing this for a living, but if you really want to get serious about winning some money this week, those are kind of the things you have to look for. And I know we thought about that a lot, the Ryder Cup, with the potential pairings and which format and who's going to play what holes, but that can give you quite an edge this week. Kyle, I know I have a little bit more research to do, but going down board, how do you feel about like the Cootie brothers at 6,600? We know both Pearson and Parker have flashed at times this year. And then you also just the chemistry of growing up playing golf together, and you never know what can happen. Fitzpatrick's have shown that can take off at times. So what do you think about the Cooties at 6,600?
You know, Parker Cootie of all of, has been playing really well, but he's not the cheapy. They're not the cheapy team I gravitate to this week. Jordan, I believe you have our cheapy of the week ready and highlighted.
We're going. I mean, I'm only picking Gannon. What's it, Matt Gannon? What's his first name?
Correct. Thanks for coming.
Yes, Matt. I mean, Gannon, SPGN, I know that much. I just don't remember his first name. But yeah, he's got two picks. He's the only person on these two groups. One is Aldrich Potgieter and Thristan Lawrence, a couple of South Africans who, I don't know if you guys know this, but Aldrich is the youngest ever winner on the Korn Ferry Tour in January of this year.
Could there not be two more silver spoon names out there? Yes. Like,
especially from the country of South Africa. Like, these are very white people in a 90% non-white country named these names.
And Thurston Lawrence is obviously one as well at the DP on the DP World Tour. But I appreciate you saying Aldrich's name, because even though there's not an L or an S in there, I look at that and I just want to say poltergeist.
Also, Kyle, it's Thristan, not Thurston. This is not Thurston Howell III from, is that Trading
Gillian's Island?
I get thrown off, though, because Mayo does say Thirsty Lawrence when he talks about that guy. So I got that. So.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm all in with you there. The other cheap team I'm interested in this week is Mark Hubbard and Ryan Brehm. They were T14th here as a group in the past.
You about to say as a couple?
I almost did. and Mark Hubbard is 11 for 11, made cuts this year, $7,000. So I think you can do worse.
All right. Yeah, I know we're kind of shotgunning here a little bit, but it's kind of that kind of week. I would say play your studs. I mean, you could even go, if you really want to do a lineup build with really what we just talked about, if you want to go studs, stay Shoffley, Cantlay, and either Lowry, McIlroy, or Sahith and Will, and then just go splatter the bottom of the board, you know. We've given a couple options in the low 7Ks and 6Ks. I think that's what it's going to take this week. All these guys are good. They can, you know, you get two pros playing a best ball format. You know, weird things can happen. So I think 6K and 7K is definitely in play this week. I'd say get funky. Go light, get funky, try, you know, swing big. With that, Jordan, I'd like to introduce you. I'd like to welcome you to the name game.
Hey, don't go in the tabs. We're doing it differently this week. No one
I'm
can
not going
in
the
there.
Tabs. Okay. I just want to welcome you to the winner's circle.
Thank you.
We are.
You guys noticed that I won when I made the game. So there's some conspiracy here against me when you guys are making the games.
I can't dismiss that. But we are 16 weeks into the name game season, and we are welcoming you to the winner's circle. So
I appreciate it.
With that, you get to introduce us to the name game for the Zurich Classic.
Okay. Well, and you know, I like to change things up and cause both of you headaches. So today you don't get to pick based on the names of the players, just on their nicknames.
Okay.
And their team, it's two teams of two, and they have one nickname for the four players. One team nickname.
Okay. All right. We'll go with it.
So I will, for the listeners, we do know one of the teams, and I really hope we don't get that team.
There's a couple others you really hope you don't get either, Kyle. So just as a reference, the salaries go from 13.7 to 15.7. So there is a little gap. You know, I'm always the one that harps on keeping it real, keeping it close, but couldn't do that this week. So, all right. Team one, we've got the old farts. Team two, we've got the brotato chips. Team three, we have, And team four is, hey, we played well last week. Let's do it again.
Shoot, this is hard.
Well, so who gets to go first?
Listeners get to pick first. So you guys need to tell me.
Well, this is a trick question because, well, I think we have to give them the old farts because that's what we would have done if we don't know anything. You don't think so?
Well, no, I think you're right. It's just the team that we had shared with Jordan to put into this. I don't know which team they're in.
I think they're in played last week because that was like, hey, he was correct. Like, hey, I need that, someone that played last that. Week.
Okay. So All right.
The team everyone knows is Russ Cochran and Eric Cole, and they are one half of, hey, we played. Russ didn't play well last week. I should have changed the team name to we played last week.
So just can we have a Russ Cole moment for a hot second?
Yes.
So he did play last week in the invited celebrity classic T75.
Russ Cochran.
Yep. For the seniors tour. Jordan, did you also know he played in the Chubb Classic and Dick's Sporting Good Open this year?
I did not know that Russ Cochran played in the Chubb's and the Dick's Open.
Of all those events, I think you would be very surprised because he also played in 11 events. The Chubb Classic was his best finish at T48. So Mr. Cochran finished best at the Chubb Classic.
Oh, can't wait till David Skins plays in the Chubb Classic.
Thank you.
The listeners get, hey, we played well last week. Sorry. We don't want Russ Cochran.
Okay, so that team is Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett and Russ Cochran and Eric Cole.
All right.
And they are the second most expensive team.
They can't look at the tab. I can't.
They're the second most expensive teams.
Who's next in the draft order?
Kyle.
I'll take.
Okay. So you get Ted Potter Jr. Ooh. And Alejandro Toasty.
Toasty's Tacos.
It's an Argentinian with Ted Potter. Quite the age gap. Then I have no idea how these guys got paired together. So sorry, Kyle.
It is fair.
I think you were hoping for better. They are the cheapest team in all of the teams.
I thought Brotato Chips was going to be a trap. So I say
the second one team there is, get out. Who's in there? Is that you, Kyle? Get it into the tab.
I'm free now.
Is Garrick Higo and Ryan Fox.
Yeah, I see. I always bet and play Ryan Fox, so perfect.
All right, so Mike, would you like the old farts or the brotato chips?
I know the right answer is the old farts because you know that that the gritty top 10 is coming this week. It is those guys that just get the ball in the hole. But I have a hunch that Chris Goddard is in the Brotato chips, and 7,400 yard golf course. I think a little bit of length there, but I could be wrong. He's definitely a Brotato chip dude. But I guess he's not there. Give me Brotato chips.
Okay. He is not there because it is filled with two teams of brothers. Brotato chip.
Oh, well, not good. I get the cooties.
So you get the cooties and the
Hojards.
Oh, I can live with this. This is good.
And yeah, that is the highest salaried set of teams, as well as Højgaard's. Højgaard's are the highest individual team. Meanwhile, I get the old farts, who are Matt Kuchar and Steve Stricker, who I actually feel pretty good about, and then Molinari and Luke Donald. So I get the lowest team salary for the week.
There is a lot. There's older farts in the field, though, I feel like.
But I needed two old farts. Are there teams of two? The Molinari isn't that old, I know, but I couldn't find a team. This is also why it's harder for me to do real name games, because I don't know.
You don't know who the players are?
Especially this week. Like, oof.
But speaking of old farts, I mean, really to round it out on the Russ Cochran story. He is, I believe, 65 years old. He plays mainly Champions Tour events. And Kyle, I believe you said he turned pro in 1979. Like, we could go through this for the entire salary board, but why are these guys playing together? Eric Cole, who I believe is 36, you know, mini tour master that turns PGA Tour pro and has been 30s and has done all right. Playing with Russ Cochran, my only assumption is that he is a family friend. Both of Eric's parents were professional golfers. Russ has got to be a family friend.
I looked it up. It's his stepdad.
Oh shit.
No, I'm making that up. The joke fell apart when you said a friend of Eric Cole's parents. I thought you knew Eric Cole's parents, which it seems like you do. So then I'm assuming there is no stepdad.
Well, maybe I could have been mistaken. I mean, I don't know Eric Cole's dad. I only know that I believe he was a professional golfer. His mom was a prominent LPGA Tour player in the 80s. Hmm.
See, my take was going to be that they were like just happened to be members of the same country club, and Eric Cole lost a bet with like the 8 PGA pros that are a member of that club. And this was the
someone's got to take Russ.
Someone's taking Russ. But I can't. Russ Cole Cochran is from Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, I've got it. Twitter with the answer. Russ Cochran is Eric Cole's caddy's dad.
That's a nice story. That's pretty cool. I hope they do great this week.
That is fantastic. Like that.
What qualification do you have to have? Like, did you have to have one time held a card on some tour?
Maybe. I mean, Russ Cochran finished top 30 in the Masters 1 year.
He won the Magnolia Classic and the Greater Baltimore Open in 1983.
Yeah, he's won a Champions Master, or not a Champions Major also.
Well, there you go. I don't know the answer. I know that this was speculated on Twitter that maybe Scotty could have just late added to the field and invited Nelly and just see what happens. I'm gonna guess that wouldn't have flown, but you know, it would have made the tournament pretty interesting.
Actually, it would have been really funny if Scotty and Wyndham Clark just showed up together. They're just like, yeah, never mind. We're going to come play, guys.
Just walk on. You know, they would let them in. They call them up right now, be like, guys, my baby isn't born yet. Wyndham and I want to play together. Who is the other one?
Would their odds be negative?
Did Max Homa have his baby? Was that the other one? Who else was having a baby at the Masters? Did that baby come yet?
Sam Burns.
Yeah. Is the baby here?
I would think so. She was actually due that weekend, whereas the media pulled the rug out from under us and Scotty's baby wasn't due until actually like a month later, but I think Sam Burns the Burnses were due that weekend, so I would assume so.
He hasn't tweeted since December, so I have no update.
last point, Kyle, then we'll close things out. You got a few bets to fire on the Zurich Classic? I mean, this might be a fun week to do something weird.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler and Allison Stoker are also expecting. I just learned by Googling things. Yes, I actually hit here last year. Thank you to Mr. Swag and Davis Riley. So far, I have Davis Thompson and Andrew Novak at 45-1. Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith, 25. Tom Hoagie and Matt McNeely at 22. So the first two, I don't have a ton of interest from a DFS perspective, but could see a path to popping, so I just went for it. Hoagie and McNeely, I thought that was kind of the pod play, you know, if you will. So I'm going a little lighter this week. I got 1.25, 1.5, 1.5 units on those. Might grab one more long shot, Mr. Poltergeist and Thirsty Lawrence or something, for like a top 10 just for fun, but. Yeah, go a little light this week. Just have fun with the event. Don't sweat it.
All right. Love that. And with that, we will wrap things up for the Zurich Classic. You can follow us on Twitter at RTG Podcast DFS. We'll have content all week on this and more. Our YouTube channel, Reading the Green, and any major podcast platform. New episodes out every Wednesday each week. And so we'll be back in a week with the results of team golf on the PGA Tour at the Zurich Classic and look ahead to the, what I'm going to call just the Byron Nelson. I don't know who sponsors it anymore. I don't know what golf course it's played at, but the Byron Nelson. So yeah.